In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are days when the sun shines, the flowers bloom, our hearts swell with joy, and we are glad simply to be. Those are good days. Days when all is right with the world. Days when you readily proclaim, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." But then there are the other days, the gray days. The days when we feel down and discouraged and even defeated. Days when we feel like the whole world is against us. Days when the loneliness and depression seem unbearable. And no, I'm not talking about Michigan State blowing another 10-point lead and losing to Michigan. As sad and depressing as that is for some of us, it doesn't really compare to the real troubles we all too often experience in this life. At least, that's what I keep telling myself. Seriously, you know exactly what I mean when I speak of those gray days. We all have them, and on those days, we are more inclined to say, "This is the day the Lord has made? How can I possibly rejoice and be glad in it?" But my friends, consider St. John. He knew about those gray days all too well. He knew about being down and discouraged and defeated, about being lonely and depressed. I would even venture to say that he knew far more about those gray days than we will ever know. I mean, picture him there, sitting alone on an island called Patmos, banished from the company of all his beloved churches. He'd seen all of his fellow apostles fall to the sword or flame or cross one by one until he was all that was left. He'd seen the bright beginnings of the church, the excitement of new converts wither and fade. He'd seen heresies creep into the church right under his nose, and he'd fought them every inch of the way, but they just kept on coming in. One perversion after another arose to corrupt the simple and glorious gospel that he had been given to preach. And then there was the persecution. The Roman state didn't take too kindly to the announcement that there was another king of the world besides Caesar. With an exercise of brute force, Rome brought its iron fist crashing down on these little Christian communities who worshiped a rival king named Jesus with the intention of wiping them out once and for all. Whole Christian families were put to death and time again for their allegiance to Christ. Men, women, and children were paraded into the Colosseum to experience gruesome deaths for the entertainment of the emperor and his citizens. Hard not to be a little down about all that, eh? Especially when it looked like, very much like, St. John had spent his whole life doing what would come to naught. That the church would last, or wouldn't last, as long as he himself would last. It is to such a discouraged disciple, sitting lost and lonely in exile on Patmos, that the Lord Jesus sent a series of visions. We call them the Book of Revelation. The visions were meant to put new courage and hope into St. John, and St. John, by writing them down, by recording them, was to pass that new courage and hope onto others who were struggling like he was, to let them know that even though it seemed like all was lost, it wasn't. In all of those visions that St. John was given, none can compare to those moments when the veil of time is drawn back and we are given a glimpse of heaven and of the joys of those who have died trusting in Jesus Christ. The faithful departed loom large in the book of Revelation. The whole book could be understood as an expansion and elaboration on the famous words of St. Paul, "For I consider the sufferings of the present to be not worth comparing to the surpassing weight of glory that shall be revealed in us." In our first reading this morning, you saw those beloved saints before you in your mind's eye. There they were, standing before the throne of the Father and of the Lamb of God who had taken their sins away. They stand before Him clad in white, the palm of victory in their hands, and they sing a song that ascribes their salvation solely to their God and to the Lamb. They know they have nothing for which to boast on their own, for everything they have was given them as a perfect and free gift from God. They know that their robes are white only because they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because He bled and died to redeem them and set them free, they stand before God, holy and pure. They are there always, day and night, never departing from God's presence, delighting to give Him endless liturgy, praise, and doxology. God covers them with His tent. That is, they live in His house, in His presence, and He protects them from all harm. In that act of awesome gentleness, He reaches out His nail-scarred hands to wipe away every tear from their eyes. Their sorrows are gone. They have eternal joy. Who are they? The elder asks St. John. St. John said, in effect, "You tell me." The answer was, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are the saints, the holy ones of God. These are people like you and me. People who have had their share of heartache and pain. People who sometimes had to struggle day by day just to hang on and keep going. People for whom faith didn't always come easy. People who struggled to trust in God and to believe that in the midst of their troubles, God was still there and still in control. And most importantly, still loving them, forgiving them, holding on to them. Yet they clung on. They hung on to God's promises and found that He was truthful and didn't let them down. They are those who remained steadfast in the Word and endured to the end. They are your loved ones who have died in the faith. They are your loved ones who will die in the faith. They are all believers of all time, from Adam until the last saint is sealed by God. My friends in Christ, they are you and me and all who have been brought to faith in Christ and have been washed clean in His blood. That glorious vision of the saints in heaven revealed to St. John brought great comfort to him and to the struggling and persecuted church of his day. Suddenly the gray days didn't seem all that gray anymore. They still came, to be sure, but the sure and certain promise of their eternal destination in the glory of heaven made them bearable. So it is with us, the struggling and persecuted Christian church today. When trouble comes our way, as they most certainly have and will continue to come, we need only to fix our gaze upon the glorious vision of the saints in heaven revealed to St. John and passed on to us. There is our courage and hope. Doing so will not magically make our troubles disappear, but it will make them bearable. For we know by faith what awaits us. We know that because we have been sealed by God in holy baptism, and because we continue to repent of our sins and trust in Christ alone, receiving His Word and His body and blood in the Holy Supper, we belong to the 144,000, that great multitude that no one could number, who will stand before the Lamb in His glorious perfect kingdom, which has no end. That, my friends, is what we Christians are to focus on as we live out our lives in this veil of tears. That is why the false message being proclaimed by so many today, that we are to experience our best lives now here on earth, live lives free of any suffering and full of blessings, lives of perfect health and great wealth and prosperity, is as dangerous as it is absurd. Nowhere in God's Word does He promise such things to us. On the contrary, He assures us time and time again that we will suffer in this sinful world. We shall mourn. We shall experience pain and sorrow. We shall undergo great tribulation in our lives. We shall be reviled and persecuted for our faith in Christ. But blessed are we who keep the faith through it all. For great is our reward, not today, not in this life, but in the next life, in heaven. You see, the good news is that no matter what we suffer in this life, no matter how many gray days come our way, we have the sure and certain promise that our reward awaits us, that all of our pain and all of our sorrow will come to an end when we are carried into heaven to experience the unspeakable joys of life in paradise, where there is no mourning, no suffering, no pain, but only peace, joy, and comfort forever. And so this morning, as we celebrate the festival of All Saints' Day, we remember the faithful departed who have gone before us and already experienced life in paradise, the same life which awaits all who have faith in Christ. But we don't just remember them. That would be rather sad, don't you think? No, we don't just remember them. We worship with them. We stand with them here in the divine service before the Lamb of God. For here in the Lord's house, heaven and earth come together as one. Here we experience the blessed fellowship we have with all the saints. For here we are one church, one communion of saints. As the words of that great hymn we sung earlier have it, O blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine, yet all are one in Thee, for all are Thine. Alleluia, alleluia. The only difference, my friends, between us and them is that they have seen the last of their gray days and have already received the full reward of their faith, eternity in paradise. But so too will we, for great is our reward in heaven, my friends. Our gray days will come to an end. Our troubles will be taken away for good. We will be comforted. We will be satisfied. We will have all our tears wiped away by the scarred hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Let that be your focus now and always. And until that great day when we are carried into the joys of paradise in heaven, let us cry out together in the liturgy, in our praise, in church, regularly, with all the saints. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb who has washed our robes clean in His blood, in His holy and precious name. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.